the tabletop takeaway.
Game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop takeaway.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Charlie McCarron.
I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
And we are going to talk about Ricochet Robots
as, beep, beep.
As part of our pattern recognition series. So this game, like in our last episode, we talked about set. Ricochet Robots is a similar game where we're all kind of staring at the same puzzle on the table and trying to figure out how to solve it. And in the game, you can imagine there's a big grid that's kind of looks a little like a maze. And there's robots of four different colors scattered randomly around the map. And they have exit points for different colors where in your head, you have to figure out. So a card will come out that might say, like, red robot has to get to the red Saturn symbol or whatever. And you have to figure out how many moves it takes with the robot sliding around the puzzle. And the rule is the robots slide all the way until they hit a wall. And so you might go, you know, like one move across the board, then another move in another direction, and winding your way around till you get to that exit. And you're doing this all in your head. And then as soon as you figure out a number of moves, you can shout that out and say, 8. And then you're trying to find the fewest amount of moves. And someone else might then say, 7, I can do it in 7. And as soon as everyone's made a guess, and after the first person goes, the timer starts ticking down. And then then whoever said the lowest number has to prove it, and they show the path that the robot takes around the board. And there's other complications in that you can actually move other robots to, like, mm-hmm. block areas so that your main robot can, like,
follow. Stop early.
Find a better path.
This is a case where blocking is actually good. It's not like you're blocking other people from moving the robots. It's
right.
You're blocking your robot so it doesn't slide too far.
Right, yeah. I just think this is a very clever game. Ananda introduced it to me a couple of years ago, maybe. I think it's pretty clever and unlike any other game I've played.
So. Absolutely, yeah. I really love that it has a very simple rule that when you move a robot, it goes until it can't move anymore. And that's like the main rule for moving the robot. And then you just have to try to figure out how to get that robot to its home that it's trying to get to.
And it's a very easy movement rule to understand.
Yeah. But then tracking up to 15 or 16, I don't remember how many we got up to at one point. It's a lot of moves to just have in your head.
Yeah. It's another thing where you get better at it the more you play.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, like, part of it for me, and this might be launching into my takeaway, but the fact that there's so many different ways to solve this puzzle is, I think, a really good characteristic of a puzzle game like this.
It's scope for creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely makes you feel creative. And I love also just, even if, like, someone made more moves than me, I kind of want to tell them, like, hey, you should show what your method was.
Right.
Yeah, I'm really curious.
Yeah, you want to see what everyone else is doing.
Yep.
Well, and my favorite piece is that it's not just like set where the fastest person wins automatically.
Right, yes.
You have the fastest person starts the timer, but even that same person can come back and find a faster way.
Right, yeah. That's a good point. It's not quite as strict. If you can find a better route, then...
Yeah, and oftentimes you're going back and forth like, I don't see 6. Where's 6? How did you find 6? And you're just like trying to figure out, like scratching your head. And sometimes you'll go clearly the opposite way around the board to get to where that final point is.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
And you might come up with the same number.
The same number. Yeah.
Which is great.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. One thing I did notice about it that's maybe worth talking about is... So there was that moment. One of the spaces is the wild space.
Oh yeah,
the vortex. And when we were explaining the game, we didn't go over that. And when that space came up, We had to put the card back in the deck, basically, because we had to explain what that did. So mm-hmm. the Vortox space, or the wild space, it looks like a Vortox. Any robot can go to that, and that's all it is. Right. And if you don't explain that ahead of time, then it's awkward because it comes up and, you know, it's a real-time game, so explaining it's going to take some time. But if you do explain it ahead of time, it's one card out of the deck of cards. And I don't know, I'm just wondering, is it worth having that sort of special case in a game that's based on real-time pattern recognition?
And that's hyper-logical, right? Like, it's very clear-cut, not, you know, edge case everywhere. You know, mm-hmm. It's not, you know, some crazy game with a lot of different rules in it. It's very simple. So having even just one deviation might make it a little bit more interesting for some folks. But I don't know if that actually pays off.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one round, though. Like, right, out of the whole game. It's like this whole extra rule just for this one
time. Right. Well, and I mean, like, that is actually a pretty common thing, though, for a lot of games and art in general, not to talk about my theater background. Sometimes you'll put all of your money into a single moment on stage, and it'll just be this one big grandiose thing. And board games, I think, do a very similar thing sometimes, where they just have this, everything's geared up for this one thing, but that doesn't feel like it in this game.
Right,
because it's just like a, here this is.
Well, it's not very impactful. Like, right. When I think about special cases, I think of, like, for example, the Bene Gesserit in Dune, right? Okay. Where they get to predict who's going to win, and then if they're right, they win instead. Which very rarely happens, but when it does, it's very memorable.
Right, right.
But in this case, this is not particularly... I mean, obviously, I'm remembering it, but that's mostly
because... We're talking about it in a podcast right now.
I had forgotten about those.
Yeah. So I feel like it's not worth the extra rules, especially not when it's a real-time game. And
if you forgot to explain it, it does put a little bit of a damper on it, but...
Yeah. Well, and like Trevor mentioned in set, that the fact that you don't have any words or... especially in a real-time puzzle-solving game is nice.
The extra clarity is probably more worth than the edge case difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe that's my takeaway. Just that, you know, if you're doing a real time game, you want it to be simple, and you should avoid special cases like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder though sometimes it's like maybe they wanted to make an expansion-y type thing, or how would you expand this game?
Oh my God,
that's already pretty perfect.
Well, I guess, so actually, we played with the basic game.
Right.
If you flip the boards over, which we didn't do, but there are special walls matching the robot colors, and only the robot matching that wall can go through it, and the other ones bounce
that's
off.
That's fun. I like that.
Which is a little bit more complicated, but also pretty intuitive to understand.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to see more of these types of games that are... you solve the puzzle in your head, and then how good can you do? But it's not like purely speed, like you're saying.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it mitigates the speed factor a little bit from set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think just as a gamer in general, I steer away from speed-based games. I have a hard time with that pressure just as a weird thing in my head, and it just does not click well.
Mm-hmm.
I steered away from what is the Egyptian rat game mm-hmm. from back in, you know, grade school. I never got the hang of that one either. I just didn't really want to do the fast games. I wanted to have more thoughtful time for my games.
Yeah.
And I think this actually hit the mark for me in that range, because like that extra minute just really helps me, like, okay, I still have full 60 seconds, which is a long time.
Yeah.
We talked about in set where if 30 seconds go by and you don't find one, then it's probably not there.
Yeah.
Which is a fascinating comparison between the two.
Yeah, and I guess this is bringing me back to when we played Turing Machine, too.
Oh.
Because that is a race to solve a puzzle,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but you're doing it turn-based.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's kind of another fun method. Like, get a little bit more information each time, but still the race of who can solve it first, but not real time. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that comparison.
I think... another thing I noticed with Ricochet Robots is some of the walls are on the edge of the board, and they are really hard to see because they sort of go over the edge because the board is made up of four different little boards,
like tiles.
Yeah, and some of the walls are right on the edge, and you don't see them. And I remember there was at least one turn where I thought there was a path, but there wasn't because one of those walls is in the way.
Yeah, I had the same thing happen.
So I feel like those probably shouldn't be on the edge. But I guess what it makes me realize is graphical design is really important for real-time puzzles.
Yeah.
Because if there's a detail that's hard to see and, you know, people make mistakes, it's going to be hard to catch those mistakes in real time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And those are never a fun moment. It's right. Like the worst moment when you're like, right. Oh, I'm just stupid because I didn't see that.
Yeah, because you just missed something.
And you never want the game to make someone feel like they're stupid. You want them to feel clever.
Right.
That's the goal.
Which is a good question to ask of all these games because, like, set, if you're not experienced, you feel kind of dumb when you can't make... Like, sets as fast fine. As other people.
I felt fine.
Okay, I'm sorry, Trevor. I think this is a running theme where I'm like... Well, I felt dumb in our third game that we're going to talk about. I got completely crushed by these guys.
No, he cheated. Clearly. Yeah,
I did. I actually did cheat.
Unintentionally.
We'll get to that. Yep. Do you guys have takeaways from Ricochet Robots?
I think my takeaway was just that maybe you should try to avoid special cases in real-time games.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the big takeaway is if you do have a game that uses physical movement, then you do want to mix it up by having little walls and things just to help guide things around. I really liked how this game played out with that and how much it made me have to think about every move and where I was ricocheting to. I really like that idea that having physical movement requires limitations and not just unlimited, you know, being like a queen in chess and being able to stop whenever you want, like very simple. Nope. You go until you hit a thing. It's like, oh, okay. And the other robots are things too.
Mm-hmm.
And so just being able to just create those simple rules and then work in those rule sets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess my takeaway is kind of along those lines. It's just a reminder about emergent complexity, mm-hmm. which I talk about a lot, but the idea that the rules are very simple, but because of the interacting components, mm-hmm. the complexity gets way higher because in this game, it's really the fact that you can move all robots.
Right.
Because not only are you solving this, like, oh, how fast can I figure out what the best path is? It's like, oh, but how can I use these other robots and feel clever about making like a stack of three of them to,
and then remembering how they're all moving to get to that part of the stack, and then
right.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So good.
Cool. Well, with that, I think that wraps up our episode on Ricochet Robots, and tune in next time when we talk about
Factory Funner.
Funner.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.